The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. The Pharisees approached Jesus and asked, "Is it lawful for a husband to divorce his wife?" They were testing him. He said to them in reply, "What did Moses command you?" They replied, "Moses permitted a husband to write a bill of divorce and dismiss her." But Jesus told them, because of the hardness of your hearts, he wrote you this commandment. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. So then they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, no human may separate. In the house, the disciples again questioned Jesus about this. He said to them, "Whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery." And people were bringing children to him that he might touch them. But the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he became indignant and said to them, "Let the children come to me. Do not prevent them, for the kingdom of God belongs to those such as these. Amen, I say to you, whoever does not accept the kingdom of God like a child will not enter it." Then he embraced them and blessed them, placing his hands upon them. The Gospel of the Lord.
Good morning, everyone. Each human being, beginning with Adam, exists in a kind of solitude, separate from the natural world and from other persons, including God. But each human being is also created to be in relationship with one another. Humans have the capacity to understand nature, but nature does not have the capacity to understand us. So that means that Adam could give names to the animals, but they could not name him. We can imagine Adam having a great time playing with the animals and then with him, but he needed someone on his level. And this is why God made human beings male and female, so that each could have a suitable partner, a helper. As human persons, men and women are equal in dignity and complementary. Each has something the other needs, physically, emotionally, and intellectually. And it's this relationship, that of husband and wife, that is the most fundamental and essential of human relationships. And this relationship, through the love they have for one another, gives rise to the second most fundamental and essential relationship in all of creation, that is parent and child. The scene in today's gospel is a common one. The Pharisees, seeking to put Christ to the test, ask him to pass judgment on the law that Moses gave his people. See, the women in the time of Moses were treated very poorly, as if they were cattle, livestock, just objects to be owned. And so Moses gave this bill of divorce to the ancient Israelites in order to give freedom to the women so that they could separate from abusive relationships, abusive husbands. And so this was a good at the time. Fast forward to Jesus's time, and now this bill of divorce is being abused. And so Jesus takes this opportunity that the Pharisees present him as a way to affirm the indissolubility of marriage, as God originally intended at creation. He quotes the words of Genesis, saying, "But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one. So they are no longer two, but one. What therefore God has joined together, let no man put asunder. The Lord declares that the unity and indissolubility of marriage had been established from the beginning and had been intended from the beginning. This teaching, in fact, was so surprising to his disciples, so new, so out of what they expected, that they asked him again to explain it. And he said to them, "Whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery." It would be hard to express this any more clearly. Now, it's a fundamental duty of the church to reaffirm this, the doctrine of the indissolubility of marriage. To all those who in our times consider it too difficult or impossible to be bound to one person for the whole of life, and to those caught up in a culture that rejects the permanency of marriage and openly mocks the commitment of spouses to fidelity, it is necessary to reconfirm the good news of the definitive nature of that marital love that has Christ as its foundation and strength. Being rooted in the personal and total self-giving of the couple and being required by the good of the children, the indissolubility of marriage finds its ultimate truth in the plan that God has manifested in his revelation in Scripture. God wills and communicates the indissolubility of marriage as a fruit, a sign and a requirement of the absolutely faithful love that God has for man and that the Lord Jesus has for the church. This bond cannot be broken except by death, for it is an image of the bond between Christ and his mystical body. My brothers and sisters, many of us find ourselves in situations that are not aligned to this ideal of marriage that God the Father has given us since the beginning of time and that Christ has reaffirmed for us in the scripture we've read today. Indeed, most especially in today's world, this teaching of our Lord's is very hard to hear. So if you find yourself in this situation, please talk to our Lord about this. Firstly, talk to our Lord. And second, talk to your priest. Oftentimes, there are ways that we can help you live out that faith despite whatever situation you've found yourself in. So please come talk to us if you find yourself there. Also, if you find yourself struggling in your marriage, if you find yourselves, however you define struggling, I encourage you to, again, take it to our Lord in prayer first. Come talk to us, priests, and then also check the bulletin. We have events in the Archdiocese, seminars specifically geared to this because the church takes marriage so importantly. And actually, the reason the church is so insistent about the importance of marriage is that the dignity and stability of marriage is often of the greatest importance to the future of families, of children, and of society itself. Marriage matters because our very future matters. The moral health of people is closely tied to the condition of matrimony. When the institution of matrimony is sick, society is sick. But when this divine institution is healthy, society itself is healthy. I know there are many who might disagree with the church's position on marriage and family, but I have to reiterate the fact that we didn't make this up on a whim. This isn't something the church just randomly decided to get together and say, hey, this is it. In fact, this is something we've inherited directly from Jesus Christ, as the scripture testifies to today. And so I want to leave you with one thought, a quote. I can't remember the priest's name, and somebody actually told me last night after preaching, but the quote probably will sound familiar. It goes, "The family that prays together stays together." My brothers and sisters, my friends, I encourage you to find time this week and all weeks throughout your lives to spend time together as a family, to pray not just for yourselves, but for families everywhere. so that we can move from the isolation and solitude of Adam into the fullness of community and divine life modeled by Jesus Christ and the Holy Family.